2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. We're continuing on in our Membership Has Its Privileges series. Last week we talked about the privilege to pray, and this week we're going to look at the privilege to study. And let me move this over here so I'm not in your way. How's that sound? You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May God's blessing be on the reading of His Word this evening. You know, in her book, Amazing Grace, Kathleen Norris shares about a visit she and her husband made with a man by the name of Arlo. Now, Arlo was this rugged, self-made kind of man. And for their wedding gift, his grandfather, who was a sincere Christian, he gave them the gift of a Bible with nice gold lettering on the front cover with their names on it. And he gave this nice Bible to them in a box, and Arlo left it in the box, never opening it. But for months, his grandfather kept asking him. He kept saying, "How do you like that Bible?" And he couldn't understand why his grandfather kept asking, because he told the Norrises, he said, "My wife sent him a nice thank you, and we even told him in person, thank you. I don't know why he can't let it lie." But every time he'd see his grandfather, he'd say, "How do you like that old Bible?" Well, finally, Arlo grew curious enough to open the Bible. And he discovered that the joke was on him, because at the beginning of Genesis was a $20 bill. Did you notice this wasn't part of the children's message, right? But at the beginning of Genesis was a $20 bill. And then he found that at the beginning of Exodus was a $20 bill. And at the beginning of every book was a $20 bill. In fact, tucked in the pages of that Bible was over $1,300. Would you know that after Church at Henry today, when I left, there was a $20 bill in my jacket pocket? And it wasn't mine. That was my generosity, my God sighting today. I'm like, wow, you know, somebody slipped a 20 in my pocket. They thought I needed a new illustration. I guess I could have put 40 in it tonight. You know? Tucked within this book, though, there is a treasure, isn't there? You know, last week we started our Membership Has Its Privileges series. And we kind of examined the privilege to pray. And today we're going to turn our attention to the privilege to study. And just to remind you, we're talking about membership in terms of discipleship. And we kind of framed last week that Jesus isn't concerned about whether or not your name is on a piece of paper sitting in a church office. You know, that's kind of meaningless. What Jesus is concerned about is whether or not you're actually following Him. With conversations I've had this past week, one of the things I wanted to say is, you know, as we talk about membership has its privileges, we're not setting up a hierarchy, we're not setting up a tier system, we're not saying that you're somebody special if you're a member of Network Christian Church as opposed to any other church or an unbeliever. So what we do want to talk about is how, as we follow the principles that Jesus taught us, as we adopt some of these spiritual disciplines into our lives, they're privileges. It's not simply a to-do list of duties and obligations, but these are things that we can enjoy and find benefit from in our walk with God. You know, so many of us, I think, we have this mindset, and we've run into so many Christians, and, you know, it doesn't matter whether I've been a Christian for 1 year or 5 years or 10 years, sometimes I'm in the same place spiritually, because I've not realized that to grow spiritually it's going to take a little bit of effort. There has to be some time spent with God and time spending with some of these spiritual disciplines we're going to be talking about. So our purpose is to kind of help you see the benefits and to cast membership in a way of saying, you know, this is a covenant that I'm making with God. You know, it's not about me and the church as much as it is about me and my relationship with God and my desire to know God better and to go more deeply with God in my life of faith. And I hope that in the course of this series that we can kind of get beyond the sense of duty and obligation to think about it in terms of privilege. Because, you know, as I grew up, you know, I was, my dad was a pastor, and as I grew up, you know, I was kind of an abnormal kid. Now I'm just an abnormal man, you know. The only thing that hasn't changed, I'm still abnormal. But, you know, I would pray, and I would read my Bible, but I would say for a large part of my life, it was a matter of, you know, checking it off. I knew it was something I should do. It was something I ought to do. And so it was something I did. Because that was the personality I had. And, you know, I think that when we have that kind of mindset, it makes it difficult for us to truly enjoy the privilege that we have with some of these things and the relationship that we have with God in them. Now, with that said, I need to throw out a disclaimer because most of your Bibles probably aren't laced with $1,300. I wonder if they stuck anything in my Bible. No, nothing there, right? Most of them aren't going to be laced with $1,300. But what I can tell you is tucked within those pages is a more valuable treasure that's waiting to be discovered. And so today I want to talk a little bit about the privilege to study. The privilege to study. Now some of you are thinking, you must be kidding. Because that kind of sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? The privilege to study. And perhaps for some of you, you kind of go back to days rather forgotten, right? And those days that you're cracking open books when you'd rather have been doing something else, anything else, than the grind of math, or the uncertainty of English, or the rules of grammar, the ages of history. Yeah, see, we're hitting the nail on the head, right? Anything else. Get me away from these books. Right? Now, there are a few people that really love to study. And you're kind of holding your hand like this today, right? Because you don't want anybody else to know, right? There are people who really love to study. But for the most part, for many of us, it's difficult, isn't it? And we kind of feel like, man, what a challenge. Yet, think about it for a moment. Where would you be today if you could not read? If you could not write? If you could not balance a checkbook? Now, I didn't say if you're balancing your checkbook, but if you couldn't, right? Because I realize sometimes we can, we just don't, right? Because we don't want to do the effort, right? I realize that that's possible. But where would you be? You know, these are benefits that emerged from study. Like it or not, they came from study. Dave Ramsey is noted for saying that you will be the same person in 5 years, except for the people that you meet and the books that you read. And I wonder if it could be true as well that we would be the same Christians in 5 years. We'll be at the same level spiritually in 5 years, except for how we've learned to pray and to study, to worship and give, to love and teach and serve. That kind of sounds like our list from last week, doesn't it? I wonder if the same could be said for us in that sense, and that perhaps these fundamentals are instrumental for us in pressing on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. That they're foundational for spiritual maturity. And you know, as I was thinking about this a little bit, I thought study might be one of the most difficult ones for many of us. You know, some of us, we don't have any struggles with prayer. We don't have any struggles coming to worship. We don't have as many struggles when it comes to opportunities to serve or to give and things like that. But, you know, I would say from my experience, and maybe this is fair to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but that study is probably one of the more difficult tasks for most people. But as I was thinking about it, I thought, could it be that study is the key that unlocks the potential of some of these other things? That unlocks the potential because through study, we're kind of learning the mind of God. And how might we pray more effectively than if we were to pray according to the will or the mind of God? Sounds like an effective way to pray, doesn't it? And worship, did you know in John 4:24 says the word of worship in spirit and truth? So worship helps us to know the truth so that we can properly worship God. And study inspires our giving. It can inform us in love. It tells us what love looks like and how to love one another, even in those times that we may not like each other, right? Still tells us how to love. It informs us on how to provides truth for teaching and guides us in our serving. Could it be the study might unlock or at least enhance the other spiritual disciplines? I don't know. I just thought I would throw that out there for you to think about. Because when we think about study, we're talking about learning more about who our God is. In fact, as we think about this text from 2 Timothy, it asserts two fundamental truths about Scripture. One is where it comes from. It comes from God. It says this is God-breathed, God-inspired. You might think of it this way. God has written you a letter. And in this letter, God is telling you who He is. And He's sharing His heart with you. He's sharing His plan for you. He's talking to you about all these things. And he's sharing with you His desire to be in a relationship with you. But God has written you a letter. And He also tells us what its purpose is. He says in verse 15 that it is to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. In verse 16, He says that it's useful for teaching. In verse 17, He says it's equipping us for every good work. So we have some purposes here for Scripture. So I guess there is a treasure tucked in every page. And it's just waiting for us to discover it. You know, as I was thinking about study, one of the things that came to me is that through study, we're able to claim the faith as our own. We're able to claim it as our own. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, when I was in seminary, I was very surprised by some of the things I found. Professors not teaching Bible. I kind of was, really? You know, we're in a seminary of all places. And I can remember sitting in New Testament class one night, and the teacher shared something that was not biblical. And I remember thinking, you got to be kidding me, right? And what scared me was a conversation I had with another guy afterwards. And I talked with this gentleman, and he said that he wasn't studying to be a pastor. He wasn't studying to be a leader in the church. He was there because he was searching. He was searching. And I'm like, you're in the wrong place. This isn't the place to be searching. I mean, I didn't tell him that. But I told him, I said, just because the professor says it doesn't make it true. Now, if you look at verse 13 in our text, he says, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse. Now, I'm not saying that my seminary professor was an evil man. But, he says, deceiving and being deceived. He's very clear that there's going to be deception. There's going to be false teaching. There's going to be false leaders. One of the things that I've always told people in any church that I serve, which is, you know, three at this point, right? You need to read your Bible. Because you need to know if I'm telling you truth or not. You can't just expect it because somebody has a title by their name or that they've got a seminary education that they're going to be teaching you the Word of God. You need to read your Bible because you just don't know. And there are people who will believe simply because somebody told them. Because somebody had a title by their name and they said it so it must be so. This is the only title that counts. This is the only title that counts. You know, as I was thinking about it, you know, when I was a child, just a year or two ago, actually, I might still be a child. Who knows? But when I was a child, I believed because Mom and Dad believed. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. Mom and Dad told me it was true. I didn't have any reason to doubt them. And they took me to this place called church. And at church, they said it was true. It probably didn't hurt that my dad was the pastor, right? I guess there was some consistency there. And all my friends, well, they went to church with me. And so everybody around me, well, I believed because I didn't know any better. But as you study, the thing that happens is as you get to examine it for yourself. Oh, skip the verse there, sorry. Through study, we examine the evidence and our faith becomes something we can claim for ourselves. And what I mean by that is I no longer believe just because my mom and dad believed. I believe because I believe. You know, there's a difference. And as I think about it, I think part of the reason why we have such a problem with losing kids and a culture and a generation when we have more resources for youth ministry than any other time in history, but also a huge dropout rate, is because we have a lot of kids who believe because mom and dad said it was so. But we never taught them how to wrestle with their faith. We never taught them how to search the scriptures. We never taught them how to examine them. And so, you know, it's good when they're home and mom and dad says it's true and all my friends say it's true, but then I go to college. And I go to college and my professor says it's not true. And some of my friends at college, well, they don't believe in this Christian stuff. That's just a bunch of gobbledygook or whatever. So all of a sudden we have this crisis going on because, you know, I've never really claimed the faith for myself. I've only believed it because everybody around me said it was true. And now I don't know what to do because people are saying, maybe it's not true. Maybe it's not. Look what happens with Timothy in our text in verse 14. Verse 14, he says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of." You know, I see a little transition there. When I think about what you've learned, I'm thinking, continue in what you believe because your mom and dad told you it was so. And because you heard it from me. Believe in those things that you've learned from others. But then you have this little step that took place and became convinced of. That tells me Timothy's done some wrestling with this. Timothy's done some study. Timothy's been working and digesting all this information. And Timothy's come to a place where he believes it's true. He's convinced. Not because somebody told him so, but he's convinced because he's found it to be true. And you know, claiming the faith as our own, I think it goes beyond mere doctrine. In verse 10, he says, "You, however." And then in verse 14, he says, "But as for you." Now, in the Greek, it's the same word for both verse 10 and verse 14. And what it's doing is it's kind of setting Timothy apart. In contrast to the epidemic of moral decline and the practice of empty religion and deception and false teaching that's taking place, and the passage is kind of setting Timothy apart. "But as for you, you're different." And what's the basis of that difference? What he has learned. What he's become convinced of. You see, and this is something we need to understand about study. Study is not simply about information. It's about transformation. Study is about how we shape our way of life. It's not about just increasing head knowledge. It's not about being able to pull out my Bible or to leave my Bible closed and quote to you verse after verse after verse after verse. In fact, we can do all that and not be saved. We can go to church and not be saved. It's not just about head knowledge, but it is about shaping our way of life. And claiming our faith as our own is going to shape our way of life. Through study, we also gain wisdom. We gain wisdom. Have you ever noticed how some people just seem to be wise? You know, there's just some people, they always seem to be wise. They always seem to have a good answer. You kind of gravitate toward them for advice, and they just have this wisdom about them. And then there's other people, well, they have some wisdom, but they have to work a little harder for it. And then there's other people, and we're just not going to go there today, right? We're just not going to go there. But the wisdom, you know, wisdom comes from experience, which in one way is the study of one's life, right? Learning from my mistakes, my successes, learning from my life, study one's life. And learning has many different facets. You know, people can be wise with finances. They can be wise with relationships. They can have what they call street smarts. You know, there's wisdom can come in many different shapes and forms. But here's what he says in verse 15. He says, "And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, did you catch that? They make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We're not saved just because we've studied, like I was saying just a minute ago. But the scriptures, they point us to faith in Jesus. In fact, in John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, he says, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." So I guess one of the things we might say is that through the Scriptures, we come to know Christ. They point us to Christ. They give us wisdom about who our Lord and our Savior is. And unless we're letting Him take us to Christ, then we've not gone to what the goal of study is. But you know, when we think about salvation, so often we think about salvation and it's like, well, when I die, I'm going to the sweet by and by. But salvation is more than that. You know, that in itself is enough. But it's more than that. Salvation is also something we can experience here and now. And in John 8, 31 and 32, to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's something we can experience now. He gives us guidance for life now. I don't know about some of the rest of you, but there's this thing in life that most of us have to do, and some of us will have to learn at some point in life, and that's work. You know, work is sometimes interesting, isn't it? You have to work with people. You know, life can be good if we didn't have all these people, right? You have to work with people. There's supervisors, there's coworkers, there's customers, and all these different things, you know. And work can be complicated sometimes, can't it? And there's relationships. You know, I'm guessing by the fact that you're here that you're in relationship to people. And you know, sometimes you love people, but you just don't like them very much. You ever have that? Sometimes those people are called family, right? Sometimes they're family. You love them, but you just don't like them very much. And for some of us, we have this thing, it's called marriage. And you know, marriage is complicated. And then you bring kids into the picture, and it gets more confusing. You know, life is a messy business sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes we just kind of cry out, we're like, you know, can there be a manual or something? Can something to help me out with all this? Do you know it's all in here? Work, relationships, finances, investing, parenting, marriage, it's all in here. Every single bit of it. In fact, you know, this book, it's all in there, How to Do Life God's Way. It's all in here. And while we're crying out for answers, the answers are just waiting to be discovered. It's all in the Bible. In fact, someone put it this way, that the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, according to Psalm 1, meditating on God's law leads to blessing. And there's countless other passages that reflect the benefits of God's Word. Psalm 119 is completely devoted to God's Word. And it's the longest chapter of the Bible. Every single verse. In fact, I should put that out as a challenge. Find me a verse in Psalm 119 that doesn't have something to do with God's Word. Right? Every single verse has something to do with God's Word in chapter 119 about the benefits of God's Word in our lives. And then Jesus kind of summed it up in Matthew 4:4, didn't He? He says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, we can exist on bread alone, can't we? We can exist. We can get by. We can go through day to day. But we're not going to find peace. We're not going to have joy. We're not going to have meaning. We're going to be unfulfilled. There's going to be so many things lacking. It says, if you want life, and life to its fullest, it's going to come from the Word of God. Also, through study, we can experience growth. Now, that's not to say that we can't grow if we don't study. You know, I'm not going to put God in a little box, but I do think that we're limited in the growth that we can have if we don't study. And you know, I don't think the study is always me sitting down at my little desk, opening up my Bible, and doing my own little reading. Sometimes study might be a ladies' group that's gotten together because, you know, I struggle to do it by myself. We can study that way, can't we? And you know, for those of us who like to run, which is, you know, one of those treats that there's probably less fans of than there is study, right? You know, I like to take a Bible verse and go and run and meditate on it. You know, you can be creative. Study doesn't have to be behind your desk all the time. Be creative with it. Do something. Find something that works for you. But I'll go off and I'll run and I'll be thinking, well, God, what are you trying to tell me through this verse? What are you trying to tell me? In fact, a lot of sermons have come from runs, right? I'm working when I'm running, you know? I'm not wasting time. But meditating and asking, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to, for me to say? So it comes in different ways. But through study, we learn about God by looking at what God's revealed about Himself and how He's interacted with people throughout history. You know, this is God's story, isn't it? And it tells us about who our God is. It tells us about God's heart and God's plan. And through study, we learn not only about God, but, you know, the goal of study is that we might learn the mind of God and we might know God. Because there is a difference, isn't there? You know, I know about President Obama. I know about Herman Cain. I know about John Perry. I know about Mitt Romney because I'm hearing him on the news all the time. Heaven forbid, I can't get him off the news, right? I know about them, but I don't know them. But I know Amanda. You know, we got married in 1995. Well, let's see, that's 16 and a half years ago, right? And we dated for 6 years before that, so that's like 22 and a half years. Seems like most of my life.
Love you too.
And you know, I know Amanda better today than I did 22 years ago. Do I understand her? No. And some of you have been with people longer than we have. And do you fully understand your spouse? Probably not. But does that stop you from learning more? You know, I hope that in the next 20 years I know Amanda better then than I do now. I still won't understand her. But I hope I know her better. You know, isn't it the same with God? We're never going to fully understand God. We're never going to fully comprehend God. But I hope that we have the hopes that you know, in 5 years from now, I hope I know a little bit more about who God is than I did 5 years ago. Even if I don't have the complete picture, well, that's what study's about, isn't it? It's about learning who God is. Learning who God is. You know, verses 16 and 17 also tell us about this growth. He says, all Scripture is inspired by God, or is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. He says it's useful or profitable for growth. And he says, for teaching, for learning truth. You know, there is such a thing as truth. Don't buy into this funny stuff that there's no such thing as truth. You know, I was a math major in college, and you know, 2 plus 2 is always equal 4. It never changes. That's an absolute truth, isn't it? That's an absolute truth. There is such a thing as truth. He teaches us. And you know, there's truth to be learned. And we learn it through God's Word. And he says rebuking. And that's kind of a conviction of wrong. You know, I might have my heart desire on walking the straight and narrow, but you know what? Sometimes I stumble. Sometimes I completely fall. You know? And there are times that, you know, I might say something or do something and think, Dan, that's not the person you want to be. Do you know why I feel that way? Because there's a standard in God's Word. And it's convicting me of wrong. It's also called the Spirit of God. And I know that there's a better person to be, and there's that conviction of wrong that's saying, Dan, you're off the path. You're off the path. That's also part of the profit of God's Word. And you know, correcting is kind of restoration. You know, if I get off the path, I want to be able to get back on. I don't want to stay in the ditch. Do you? So if there's restoration, there's promises in there about how to come back in relationship with God. And also training in righteousness. You know, you might think of it as providing a view of God's life priorities. God's priorities. And he says, this is for the purpose that you might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. You know, I have a nice little book at home. I can look up any Greek word. And I can see every place in the Bible that Greek word appears. And would you believe that word, thoroughly equipped, it's the only place in the Bible that Greek word appears? The only place in the Bible. It's translated in some translations as complete. And the word means made complete or perfect in the sense of usable, functioning. You know, I don't want to compare you to machines or anything, but you know, when you buy something, you want it to work right. Correct? When you buy something, you want it to work right. Well, that's kind of the sense of what this word conveys. God's Word helps us to function so that we can do every good work. We're complete. We're usable. We're perfect. And the sense that we're able to do what we were made to do. This is the value of God's Word. You know, for many of us, study is kind of a difficult thing. In fact, it might be one of those four-letter words we don't want to talk about, right? But the truth is, I know it's five. Feel the goose. But the truth is, there's a privilege to study, isn't there? Teaches us about God. And you know, wrapped within this thing called the Great Commandment that Jesus gave, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart. That's easy for us to understand, because that's usually how we speak of love. But then he gets into another language, and loving God with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Well, the way we love God with our mind is through study, isn't it? It's through study. And few choose this arduous task for a variety of reasons, yet the treasure of knowing God better is our guiding light. This idea of not just studying for the sake of study, not just studying so that I can quote for you scripture after scripture, so that I can prove myself a Tim Tebow fan that knows John 3:16, right? But the goal is that I might grow closer to God. The goal is that I might become more spiritually mature. The goal is that I might walk with my loving Father. Amen.